In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
First and foremost, the King is gracious. He prepares a wedding banquet, and he himself covers all the costs. The cost was abandoning his Son, forsaking him on the cross, casting him into the pit of hell, also that the splendid feast of forgiveness, life, and salvation might be arranged. Everything is now ready. Nothing more needs to be done. The Son has died. The Son is risen. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. The doors to heaven stand wide open. The flaming sword stands down, and the cherubim now eagerly await the guest's arrival. No one forced him to do this. And yet the Father willingly sent his Son, and the Son willingly goes because he loves fallen man. He wants him to enjoy the bliss of heaven. Now you may lay down your life for your family or for other loved ones, friends. But for the good-for-nothings, the lazy, the lowlifes, the people who make your life nearly impossible, well, to them our sinful flesh says, good riddance. Yet not God. God is loving. God is gracious, and that grace is undeserved love. So he sacrifices his Son for those who do not deserve it. He is the sacrifice for the entire world. No one is too small to be forgotten. No one was left out. No one is so wicked as to be ignored. But the Son has been sacrificed for all. The banquet has been prepared for all. And so the call goes out throughout the entire world to all people. Come to the wedding. Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. No one is insignificant in God's eyes, but all are deeply treasured. No one is invisible, but he numbers the very hairs of your head. He knows you by name and desires that you enjoy his eternal banquet. And so the call went out to you. So what if you don't have the pedigree of others? So what if you are a first-generation Christian? So what if you've lived a bad, immoral, selfish, and disgusting life? Did you not hear who was invited to the banquet? The good and the bad. He wanted you, and he still desires to have you. Come with your warts and your skeletons and all your baggage and scars. Come as you are. For the Father desires to have you sit at his table and enjoy his forgiveness, his life, his salvation. He invited you not because of who you are, but because of who he is. He is gracious. He saves you because he is gracious. He feeds you because he is gracious. He loves you simply because he is gracious. And if it is not by grace, then it must be by works, and grace would no longer be grace. The guests do nothing to prepare this feast. The guests do not invite themselves. They do not show up at the king's door and knock and ask God to come in. But the king has done it all from beginning to end, and they simply believed it. So also your Father has done all for you, and your faith simply believes it. Faith wants to eat from the bread of life that God has sent down from heaven. Faith wants to drink from the waters of life flowing from Christ's side so it may have the salvation of God. So come, eat bread without cost and drink wine at no charge, for the Father himself has spared no expense in preparing this banquet for you. Eat the salvation of your God and delight in his riches. Savor his forgiveness. Consume his grace. Taste his undeserved love. Let it swirl around your tongue and rush down your throat. Receive what he so freely gives, whether you were good this week or bad, whether everything went according to your plans or nothing seemed to go right. Hear the invitation of your King. Leave your sinful ways behind and enter his banquet hall. Jesus does pin a warning on this invitation. Not everyone is saved. The murderers are destroyed, and their city along with them, which includes those who simply ignored the invitation. Not everyone makes it to heaven. Most are not the murderers who hate Christianity and will do whatever they can to prevent it, but most are simply just busy. They have other things to do in life. They enjoy life. They tolerate all religions. They believe in some higher divine being. And they just want to be good people on this earth, kind and loving and helpful, and leave this world a better place than when they first got here. But it doesn't matter how good they are. If they do not enter the banquet hall of the king, how can they receive his eternal blessings? God invites them, but many simply do not want the feast that he gives. So they ignore him. Even we are tempted to view this feast of word and sacrament, to view the forgiveness and life that God gives, as something only we have time to, only something that we do if we have enough time. But the destruction of the unbeliever is not God's fault. He invited them, but they ignore him. God wants them to be saved, but he will not force his love upon them. He allows himself to be rejected. So we would do whatever we could in order to get our way, even if it meant forcing other people to obey us. But not God. He is loving. He has done everything to save them. He constantly invites them, but he does not force people to obey. So learn the lesson well. That those who perish have brought it upon themselves by ignoring his gracious call. But that is not you. For in faith you have listened to the call of your Savior. And so you sit here, listening to his word, receiving his forgiveness. You have come here. You are inside the banquet hall, feasting on the tremendous blessings that God desires to pour out on you. But Jesus still has a warning for you. Not all who enter this banquet hall will be saved either. A man was inside the banquet, but he was not properly dressed. When the king found him, he bound him hand and foot and tossed him into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. Sadly, many who have believed have fallen away from their faith. And it begins slowly. Perhaps just with apathy and laziness, and gradually builds. This is a far greater warning for you than the others who simply ignored the invitation, because you sit here inside the banquet hall of your king. You believe on your God. So be careful, lest you think somehow you are better than those people who are out there, lest you forget the reason why you are here and who invited you to come. That it was not by your own strength or power that you decided to come and believe on your God, but solely his gracious invitation and call to you. Do not throw off your baptismal garment, for what was given to you then so many years ago is still the covering for all your sins, the wedding attire that makes you pleasing and acceptable to God. This garment is the righteousness of Christ. For if Christ does not clothe you, then you are left to please God on your own. And the end is damning. For bound hand and foot, you will be tossed into the outer darkness of hell, locked outside of the banquet hall of heaven for all eternity. It's not the king's fault that the man took off those wedding garments. It's not God's fault that people fall away from the faith. We are quick to point fingers at pastors or at service styles or this or that, at everything but the man's heart who leaves. But God is the one who has sacrificed for them, invited them, clothed them. He has done it all and freely gives it all to them, but they no longer want it. He will not force his love upon them. He will not force them to get dressed. He allows his love to be rejected. He is patient and kind and compassionate, but he will not tolerate unbelief forever. Learn this lesson well, lest you shipwreck your faith. For right now you are standing in the wedding banquet. Treasure your baptism. It's not a thing of the past, but it is a present reality for you right now. You are baptized. You are clothed with Christ. Christ is your covering, and he alone makes you pleasing to God. And so God cannot cast you outside into the darkness. For in Christ you can be confident, certain, and courageous that you are pleasing and acceptable to God. You belong here because of what he has done for you. He surrounds you and keeps you safe. He makes you pleasing. He keeps you in the banquet. He clothes you. He has done it all for you and continues to do it all for you, as he has come to forgive you all of your sins and to feed you his very body and blood. So we find this to be true, that if men are saved, it's only because God is gracious. And if men perish, it's only because they have rejected their Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.